Okay, Howard, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, hard charging, Mr. Phenomenal, Howard Partridge!
All right. All right, I got a question for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for phenomenal success in 2015? Huh? Are you ready? Have you learned some things? How many of you glad you came? All right. You know, we've heard some phenomenal quotes over the weekend, right? And I think the theme was step into your legacy, right? Step into that success that's already yours. You're a phenomenal product. You're born to win. You're designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, endowed with the seeds of greatness. But to be the winner that you were born to be, you've got to do what? Plan to win and prepare to win before you can expect to win. But when you plan to win and you prepare to win, you can what? Expect to win, right? Know you can because you are right? God don't make no junk. Elise, come up here for just a second. Can you bring your daughter up here for a second? Give me a mic, guys. Listen, this is the best quote I've heard all weekend. All weekend, okay? Give me a mic up here. Now, I might not get it exactly right, so I want to make sure that we get it right. So, Elise, I ask Elise, Adriana, right?
Ariana,
right, okay. So, Ariana was at the Destined Dream Retreat, and Elise said something like, are you phenomenal or whatever, and she had a better way of saying that. So, can we hear that?
Yeah. What is it?
Once in a phenomenal... Once in a lifetime phenomenal day.
A once in a lifetime phenomenal day. What do you think? Okay? All right. Give it up for Ariana. All right. Listen, one of the things that we believe in here is we got to do something about our culture, right? We got to be mentors. In fact, the key is mentorship. The key is imparting this wisdom to people that are younger than us. That's why I love all the young people that I have on my team that we're developing, all right? And then we've got to learn from the older folks, Rick Jones. People like Rick Jones, for example, the wiser ones, right? It's all about mentorship. So are you ready for 2015? How many of you have seen the Got Milk? Corey, can you help me? Oh, there we go. What am I doing here? All right, so how many of you have seen the Got Milk promotion, right? Okay. The number one reason that small business owners don't grow or do as well as they could is because of FTI, right? So here's what you got to do. Hey guys, can you help me? What's going on with this thing? Did y'all test it? You gonna do it for me? Delegating? Is that working? Is that me or is that you? That's me, okay, good. All right, so what you gotta do is you gotta get fit. What does get fit stand for? F-I-T exclamation point. Number one, you gotta focus. You got to focus. We'll talk a little bit about that right now. But the biggest thing is you've got to what? You've got to implement. You guys are going to have to give me a new remote because this one isn't working like it's supposed to. And I don't know what the deal is. Batteries, maybe. Do we have the right one up here? So I'm just going to teach you then while we're waiting on these guys. You got to focus. You've got to implement. And you've got to track. Okay? That's get fit. You got to focus, you got to implement, and you got to track, all right? Where are we going? We talked about our flight plan yesterday, right? Where are we going? We got to have a clear vision of where we're going. We've got to take action. Vision without action is just a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare because we end up somewhere that we don't want to be. And then we got to track our progress. We got to have that GPS. How are we doing? How are you doing on your personal goals? How are you doing on your finances? How are you doing in your business? How are you doing on your projects? And then the exclamation point is you got to stay inspired. How do you stay inspired? You stay around mentors. You stay around people. You stay around the community of people that inspire you. How many of you are inspired today because you've been with some pretty phenomenal, inspirational people this weekend, right? You bet. You bet. So what I want to talk to you about this morning is something that I'm very passionate about, and I believe it's the key to massive implementation. Darren's going to talk to you about this after a while. He's going to give you just the basic, hardcore, just amazing. I can't think of anybody that knows personal development and success like Darren Hardy does, okay? I mean, you're just in for a massive treat, okay? But implementation requires four things. Number one, you got to stay inspired. So you get fit, exclamation point, focus, implement, track. But we got to stay excited and inspired to keep that energy going. Thank you. That way it doesn't matter whether we're tired. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are because we have that strong vision and we have that energy because we're inspired. Remember that inspiration comes from the inside, not from external forces. Motivation is great. I love motivation. I love pressure and goals. And Ariana's raising her hand already. She's like, amen, brother. And so you have to have that. And sometimes adversity, Kyle and I were talking about this yesterday, that adversity and problems and challenges cause you to grow, right? And when we get comfortable, when the money just starts flowing in, and sometimes success can be our biggest enemy, right? Because it's easy. And then we wake up in the morning, we just think we ought to just be able to wake up and everything happens for us. Just keeps rolling in. Now, when you have systems, that helps, and that helps keep things consistent. But we can't lose sight of the fact that we got to focus, we got to implement, we got to track our results, and we got to stay inspired. Gary Keller's book, The One Thing, asks a very important question. And that question is called the focusing question. What's the one thing? What's the one thing that you can do in your personal life, in your family life, in your spiritual life, in your financial life? What's the one thing that if you do that one thing, it changes everything else? Usually there's one thing. When I coach someone, when I consult someone, and the reason that I've got it, you know, Eric said that, man, he came and fixed our business in 4 hours. There's one reason is because of the experience that I've been blessed to have. But the second is that I know that usually every time I spend a whole day or a half a day with someone, it's usually one challenge. It might be a relationship with a spouse. It might be some sort of, you know, dysfunction that we have as a person. And I've got plenty of those to overcome. And for those new people that are just joining us today, they may not know that I'm from L.A., Lower Alabama. You know, so I overcame a lot of adversity and a lot of dysfunction. Just ask Denise when she gets here, all right? But usually there's this one thing that's kind of holding us back in each of these areas, and we've got to figure out what that one thing is. And so Gary Keller says, ask this focusing question continuously of yourself. I couldn't believe Hank Moore the other night, especially the thing that blew me away the most is he's like, I love the late Peter Drucker, and for him to say, man, I've been admiring Howard's work, and man, I put him up there with Peter Drucker. I said, come on, man. Now, I heard what you said about Tony Robbins, so I know that you're probably just, you know, buttering me a little bit. But the thing is that one of the greatest things that I got from Peter Drucker's book, this one here, Management Challenges for the 21st Century, that he wrote shortly before he passed away, there was something that I got from this book that I think that's instructive for us when we're talking about getting fit in our business and getting fit in our lives. And it goes like this. He said, every organization, business, nonprofit, doesn't matter, you got to get these three things right. Assumptions, strategies, and discipline. Assumptions, strategies, and discipline. So, for example, we make assumptions about what's possible, right? Now, sometimes we want you to think big, but we also want you to think realistic, right? How many of you know that some people are just delusional, right? You ever watch Shark Tank? Been in business for 10 years. They've done $13,000 in 10 years, but they're committed, man. I mean, we're going to just make this happen, right? And they're just like bawling on the camera. You know, they just don't get it. These billionaires don't get it. So you got to have the right assumptions. And sometimes we don't believe enough. We don't think big enough because we have those self-image problems. So we have to make the right assumptions. How many of you know it doesn't matter what strategy I have and how hard I work and how much I work if I have the wrong assumption, if I'm delusional? Doesn't matter. You work yourself to death. Now, here's the other side of it. We can have the right assumptions. We can have the right belief. We can have the right vision. And we can work our tail off, but we use the wrong strategies. And I see that in business all the time. We want to get high-end clients, but you know, we're advertising price. We want to get the best employees, but we're not good at building relationships, and we're just placing ads on Craigslist. Nothing wrong with that necessarily, but there's a better way. So we got the right bit. Hey, I know it's possible. I'm working hard. I'm doing things. I'm taking action, but I'm not using the right strategies. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. You can have the right assumptions. You can have the right plan, the right strategies, but if you don't execute, not going to happen. FTI. Which brings me to another phenomenal book that you got to read. And it's called The Four Disciplines of Execution. This book could easily be called The Four Disciplines of Implementation. And there's four steps. The four disciplines are, number one, focus on the wildly important. It's called WIP, W-I-P. Isn't that the problem, is that we get distracted? Darren's going to talk to you about that today. We get distracted by all the things that don't really matter. What's happening on the news, you know, Facebook, whatever the case might be. Discipline number two, this is really important, and this is something that I learned from this book that most people overlook. Focus on lead measures as much as you focus on what they call lag measures, okay? So we teach you to do your P&L. We teach you to look at those reports. And in fact, I've fired CPAs because they wouldn't help me figure out what was going to happen before December 31st when it's too late. I said, look, I got to know what this tax bill is going to be before December 31st, and I'm willing to pay you. Just sit down with me for a couple hours. If we have to do a mock tax return with whatever we've got and whatever our history is, that's going to save me a lot of money. Weren't willing to do it. So I got a new CPA, and Ellen Rohr helped me with that. So those lead measures, when you're at the 20th of the month and you're not making your sales goal, guess what? We're going to have to take some action. But if we're not looking at that ahead of time, how many of you know this, that the number of prospects that you call on is going to have an impact on the number of closings, the number of leads that you bring in through your opt-ins, you see? So we got to focus on lead measures as much as lag measures, because what you put in that pump, we got Zig Ziglar's pump back there, what you put in is going to determine what comes out, right? And then discipline three is keep a compelling scorecard. Focus, implement, and track. Your team's got to know what the score is. Imagine a ball game with no score. I mean, how boring is that? And that happens in American business every day. You know, we do these surveys and we ask, you know, what's your revenue in the last 12 months when you first start coming to our stuff? And I love the ones that say, I have no idea. I don't love them in a good way, but I was just like, wow. Do you want to try to be successful by accident? That's scary. So you find the proven things, the proven success strategies. So you got to have a compelling scoreboard. And then finally, create a cadence of accountability. Implementation happens through accountability. All of us need to be accountable to someone. If you want to be phenomenally successful in life, if you want to be phenomenally successful in business, you better have accountability in your life. We cannot survive, we cannot thrive today without accountability. We all need it. So the four keys, the four golden keys to overcoming FTI is number one, inspiration. Stay around inspirational people. Stay tied to your mentors. Stay tied to that support community. Number two is you got to be organized, because the world today is moving fast and there's a lot of moving parts. It's just not like it was before the industrial age and before the information age and now the postmodern world. It's just different today. And we've got to be more organized and more focused than ever before. And then number three is we've got to have training. And that's why you need to give yourselves a big hand clap for being here, because, you know, most of us know our technical work. We know how to coach, or we know how to write a book, or we know how to clean a carpet, or do plumbing, or do restoration, or be a good doctor, or be a good engineer, or skincare, or whatever it is, but we don't know the marketing. We don't know the sales. We don't really know it. We know about it, but it takes a while to really master those things. See, it's about mastery in the end. You become aware of it, and then you're willing to change. You implement, you focus, you get committed to it. But in order to really change your character and become a better business owner, a better person, takes a lot of training. And fourth, we need a lot of support. The ultimate form of support, encouragement, accountability, and implementation is found in a little word that I call community. We need each other. We need each other. Everybody has a longing for belonging. Every human being on the planet wants to know that they're loved, that they're valued, that their life has meaning. What's wrong with our young people today? They think that they don't matter, right? Someone has either told them or treated them in such a way that says, I don't have value. And us, the people in this room, need to be the ones to mentor the people under us and around us, even older than us, if we have to. Santiago mentors me. I learned so much from that kid. You know, even if you're 40, I'm going to call you a kid, right? Because, you know, when you get in your 50s, you just get that right, right? Everybody has a longing for belonging. When you don't value people, you devalue people. Number two, we're more connected digitally than ever before. And that's pretty cool, because with technology, we can scale. We can reach a lot of people. We can have a big impact. But there's another thing that comes with that, is that we don't have what we have at this conference. How many of you got a few hugs? All right. How many of you got a heart, by the way? Okay. Anybody that doesn't have a heart then you can get one from Louis Hernandez. Where's Louis? Where's Louis? He's out of the room right now. Hey, Louis. See, he's an S. He just wants to serve everybody else. He's not back there like one of those eyes. You know, here I am. You know, he's back there. Our humble servant. He serves out of the heart. And Louis and I were in Destin. He came and stayed a night with Denise and I. And we walked the beach and everything. And he said, you know, at the next conference, he said, I just want to make sure that everybody in the conference is touched. And he said, I want to get a heart. And we came up with a little acronym for heart. How does it go, Louis? Is it helping? Is that H? And what's E?
You have to be heard.
You have to be heard. In community, you have to be heard. What's encouraged is E. A is appreciated. R is recognized. And T is?
We thank you.
We thank you. From our heart to yours. We want to make sure that everybody has a heart, feels our heart. Give it up for my good friend, Louis Hernandez, one of my best friends in the whole world. Because here's the thing. A virtual community, we've heard that term for a long time, a virtual community is an oxymoron. It's good. It's nice. I love it. I'm just going to tell you, I love Facebook. Why? Because I can encourage people. I can add value to people. I can connect with people because all of business is about relationships. But guess what? When you build a friendship with somebody on Facebook, you want to meet them in person, right? Because community is not complete until we're together heart to heart. I was with some friends in Destin. I don't remember who I was with now, maybe Dave Kaufman. And we were doing a survey. And it was spring break, and there were a lot of high school and college kids all over. And we just started, might have been Anthony and Rose, I don't remember. But we just started asking these young people questions. They said, is it true that young people, or people in general, not just young people, but teenagers, don't care about other people because they don't feel that anybody cares about them? And they said, oh yeah, it's just a tremendous problem. You've heard the old saying, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you
care.
They don't care how much you know until they know how much you Zig Ziglar added two words to that. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care about them. So it's about recognizing individuals, recognizing their gifts. Because how many of you know that we always hone in on what's wrong, what they didn't do right? When I first started learning this whole thing about community, I learned it from the wisest man that I know. We would go to, and it happened in church, doesn't mean, you know, that if you don't believe like I do, it doesn't matter, because this goes for any large organization. It goes for any organization when there's more than, you know, any size organization, really. But, you know, you go to church on Sunday, and church has become an institution where you go and there's information from one person coming to the masses. Now, I'm communicating to you right now that way, and that's good. We need that. We need the encouragement. We need to learn from people who have already done what it is that we want to do and that have wisdom to add. Have we heard from some phenomenal people this weekend? Yeah. But here's the thing. That's incomplete. And the wisest man I know, his name is Bill Beckham. He was one of my early mentors. And we'd, you know, go to church, and then we would go to these small groups. And in these small groups of 12 or less people that would meet in homes, this is where real ministry happened. This is where people really loved on each other. If this person had a need, this person had a solution. If one person had a psalm, one had a word, one had a song, and if somebody needed babysitting or whatever, somebody's car needed to be fixed, and that was real ministry. And I started learning about this thing, and started learning about cell groups and those kinds of things. And wouldn't you know it, that God led me to two of the pioneers of that movement that worked with some of the largest churches in the world that were based around small groups. One of them was a guy by the name of Ralph W. Naber Jr., and the other one was Bill Beckham. And I carried those guys' briefcases and sat under them and learned from them. They mentored me, and here's what I learned. What I learned was that a sense of community happens in those small groups that cannot happen in a big group. Just can't. That's why we do pods. That's why this man on the front row right here, Gail Stoltenberg, that's why he's helping me, and this is why he's in this picture, is because I want to duplicate that worldwide so that nobody in this world. Michael Gerber said you got to have a dream, you got to have a vision, you got to have a mission, and you got to have a purpose, right? He said that the dream, there's two kinds of dreams. There's an impossible dream and that's not personal. So the dream is impossible, and it's there's a personal dream like the house on the beach, and then there's an impersonal dream that impacts others, right? But neither of the true dream, if it's really a dream, it's not even possible to achieve. So then you have to have a vision that's possible, right? So my dream is that everybody on earth would experience a sense of community, that support, that encouragement, that accountability. Is that ever going to happen? No. Never going to happen. Now, that's kind of like saying, man, I want to see world peace. Ain't going to happen. Just ain't going to happen. But it can happen in our closed communities. And so the vision is 200 cities that have a community of 50 people that are experiencing what we're experiencing here, live, in person, not just over the phone. Pods are good, but in person is better, right? Was this being here around face-to-face, heart-to-heart, cheek-to-cheek, hand-to-hand, is that better? Yeah. Thank you. I mean, listen, we do the best that we can with technology. I love the email that Brenda Sell sent out to her community. And the headline, we were talking about headlines, opt-ins, and email the other day. It was a virtual hug, .. I love that, a virtual hug. But community can't exist in its best form virtually. You have to be face-to-face. So we've started this process. Dave Kaufman was one of the first people to support me on this. He started bringing people to the conference. And I go to Sarasota, and folks like Jeremy and Stephanie and John Michalitis and Ruth and, Dave Eschenbaugh and Bobby. I always get Bobby and Tony's names mixed up. Anyway, Rose and Anthony are in here, and Phil, the mover. And so every time I go to Sarasota, I try to get them together because we're building a sense of community down there. It's also warmer there. And there's a beach there, too. So, you know, that's like a bonus. Okay, yeah. Okay, here's Rose and Anthony right here. Woo, yeah. So, you know, there's a plus. So if you live near a really nice beach and you want to build a community of small business owners in your area, please call me. I'll come speak for you. So Dave and I are just going to work on Florida. Okay, so if you're in Florida, Caribbean, or somewhere down there, you know, if you're somewhere else, we'll send somebody to you, okay? All right. But here's the benefits of really understanding community, and it's been a great this experience, because I've known this for a long time. I knew that this would be part of my future. And I at one point, I thought that, you know, this is going to be, I'm gonna work with Ralph Naber and Bill Beckham and build churches all over the world. And God showed me, in fact, in my first copy of the E-Myth. I had some notes in there, and I was willing to sell my service company for almost nothing because I was a slave to that business, and I thought that that's what I was supposed to do. But God showed me that, no, you're supposed to do this in the business world. And so that's when we started pods and started doing all of this and understanding how it is in the business world. Then I started studying servant leadership. I started studying all these different, you know, culture and leadership. And here's what I found out, that I haven't found anybody, nobody in the corporate world that understands this at the level that we're talking about here. And so my goal, my vision is to unpack this for organizations. And I've been working with a lady who helped Zig Ziglar for 10 years, and she's pulling this stuff out of me. And we're starting to do some research to find out what's out there, right? And so the benefits of a sense of community is, number one, when you build community in your business, and what I mean by that is provide the support, the encouragement, and the accountability. See, what I learned from my mentors was this. When they see any other human being, they don't see the outside. How many of you know we judge people from the outside? Naturally. Right? By the way, team, I feel a little warm up here. Let's get the air down before Darren comes in here because I want you guys to be totally lively. And we have blankets back there if you need them. They'll pass them out. Seriously, we do. Ladies, if you want a free blanket, they'll bring it to you. And it might just be me, so I'll let you guys be the judge of it back there. But here's what I learned. They don't see people from the outside. They don't see the exterior. What they look for is the gift. See, every human being on the planet has a gift. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. God's given you a gift. He's already set out your destiny. He set out the plan. So what life is all about is to find out what that plan is, what that destiny is, and to step into it. That's what this weekend has been all about. Step into that destiny. And guess what? We need each other to be able to do that. Your team will be inspired to implement to the level that you truly value and care about them. Those of you that are trying to find employees, we're talking to some people about that yesterday and the day before, you got to start adding some tremendous value to people that you don't even know. See, that's what Zig did. When he traveled, man, everybody in the airport, I mean, he touched 100 people before he even got to the seminar with thousands of people there, and then 100 on the way back. And let me tell you something. If you had a uniform on, guess what? Man, he was going to love on you big time. When you build a sense of community in your business by hiring the right people, by having those values, by having that mission, by caring about them, by having some small group stuff in there where we encourage one another, support one another, and hold one another accountable, your team will be inspired and they will help you reach that dream. Number two, the level that your team is inspired will be the level of customer experience that your clients will have. When you build a sense of community in your business, then the customer, the client, the patient, the member starts picking up on that. What are we about here? Community. And it creates sort of like a movement. And this is why companies like, you know, Southwest Airlines or Starbucks or Zappos and people like that that Joseph Bocelli writes about, how they've done something extraordinary because they've created an experience. But you can't create and duplicate that experience if you don't have the team that's willing to do that. And you can't do it all yourself. You can do a lot yourself, But you can't do it all yourself. And then number three, it'll make you big profits. The outcome of inspiring your team, wowing your customer, is that you'll make big profits. But guess what? It goes in that order. Inspire the team by building community. Connect your client to your community through a phenomenal service experience and a caring experience. And engaging, educating, entertaining, then you make money. Yes, we have to have goals, but guess what? If I focus only on the goal and I don't do those other two things, ain't gonna happen. So the order in this, the way that this happens, the order is one, inspire the team. How you value your employees is how they're gonna value the customer. And I'm convinced that people who don't build a big network and that don't have this in their life is because of how they value other people. And the way that we value other people is how we value ourselves. That's Zig Ziglar's kick the cat story. You know, the little boy kicked the cat because his mama got on him about his, you know, britches being ruined or whatever. And that was because her boss got on her at the office, and that's because he got a traffic ticket. So the boss gets a traffic ticket, which makes the boy kick the cat. We treat other people how we're treated. We can turn this. We can change this if only in our small community. So as I've been working with this lady that worked with Zig Ziglar, you know, she said, is there any research out there? Is there any proof of this? And I said, I don't know. I'm not a researcher. And I just have this sense. I see it working in small business. I don't know. And so we started looking and we found proof. We found a Gallup poll that Tom Ziglar has actually talked about in the past. And this study was based on, get this, 25 million employees. 25 million. What this report found was what I just shared, that engagement makes a difference to the bottom line, profits. Number two, that managers and leaders play a critical role. Why? Because your manager, the person who's working closely with the people in your organization, is going to make the difference whether they experience that level of community experience or not. In fact, one of the things that Tom shared with us from this study, and it might have been another study from Inc. magazine, I don't remember, but here was a shocking thing that came from that study. You ready for this? Employees who didn't like their manager that weren't treated right would rather give up a 20% raise and have their manager fired instead. They would rather have the manager fired than get a 20% raise. I'm going to tell you something. I got two phenomenal people on my team, new people on my team right now, because of that fact. You know, a leaky goes through the entrepreneur program and she wants to climb the corporate ladder, and that's cool, and I encouraged her. But what I know is that in that environment, it's not going to be a phenomenal life. She loves working with us because there's this sense of community. Adam, the same way. I mean, the job that he had, he's just like, I just can't take it anymore. I want to belong to you guys because these are the same values that I have. See, when you create this, people are going to be attracted to you, right? So it also revealed this. that different types of workers need different engagement strategies. So when you think about DISC and you think about what motivates people, right? And so I know that every single one of my team members need a different kind of encouragement, a different kind of accountability, and we've got to understand that so that we can properly help the team. So here's what it revealed. 70% of American workers are not engaged or actively disengaged. Now that's pretty bad, isn't it? Then when you got a company, you got a whole bunch of people, and almost 20% of them are actually working against you. And that's happening in some of your businesses right now. It happened in mine. Why? Because I wasn't practicing this stuff. Wasn't really caring about people. It's just about results. I'm a D. Get results. Get it done. Why isn't this done? Slow down. Care about people. Understand people. And guess what? There was a good 20% of my team that didn't want me to be successful. Now we flip that, and here's how they know if they're successful, and here's what makes them happy. If Howard's not here and he's on the beach and he's doing what he wants to do, we know that we're doing the right thing and we're happy. How do you get there? I mean, how cool is that, right? Joe, is that true? Right answer. So,
that's engagement.
Yeah, that's engagement. That's right. So, I mean, look, this guy is just a phenomenal guy, man. I mean, he just makes it happen. And that's what I just love about this stuff. So I emailed Tom and his team and I said, hey, you know, you remember that? You know, remember Tom's bike from the first presentation I did eons ago, like day before yesterday? Yeah. And so he created this new bike to demonstrate what the study proves, right? You got 30% pedaling. You got 52% that are coasting. And 18% that are trying to keep us from going anywhere. They're trying to jump off the bus. They're trying to crash the bus. I don't like this. And sometimes they're not even doing it consciously. It's just like, oh, I got to go to work today. You know? We can't get there from here. Here's the coolest part of this presentation. Here's the coolest part of this study. The 12 questions that they asked. Number one, I know what's expected of me at work. PRDs. Leadership is effectively communicating your vision. By the way, you don't have handouts on this. Would it be okay that if everybody who came today gets a copy of my slides, is that okay with you guys? Okay. We're going to send you all the conference slides the days that you were here. Number two, PRDs. Number two, I have the materials and equipment that I need to do my work right. Those of you that are in coaching with us in the inner circle, what do we teach you to do? We teach you when you coach someone to ask them five questions, right? One of them is, do you have the tools that you need? Sometimes we're trying to get people to do things and we're not giving them the proper tools. Number three, at work, I have the opportunity to do what I do best. You, good to great. Somebody's got the book on their table right here, Good to Great by Jim Collins. And people talk about this all the time, right? Get the right people on the bus and then get them in the right disc. Elvis Presley wouldn't have made a very good accountant, but he was a phenomenal entertainer. He would have been in the wrong seat. On the bus. Number four. Get this. In the last 7 days, I've received recognition or praise for doing good work. We have a six-step disciplinary process in the inner circle. You know what the first one is? Praise. Build a culture of praise. Build a culture of recognition. Build a culture of heart. So let me pause to make sure that we recognize our phenomenal team for doing a phenomenal job on this conference. Give it up for the team. Mr. Rick Jones, Michelle McLemore, Victoria Marez, Angela Adams, Aliki Thanos, Adam Metzler, Michelle Centeno, all of our volunteers, Johan De Leon, all the BTP Inner Circle, all of you. Now here's the cool thing, it's dangerous to do that because if you miss somebody, you gotta buy them a big old gift, you know? Cost you a lot of money, but it's okay.
Santiago.
All right. Santiago, I gotta forget Santiago. Where's Santiago? Huh? What's that? Okay, there you go. Yeah, so I got to take Santiago somewhere. Okay. All right. Yeah, how does that happen, man? I'm just looking for people. Where is he? See, that's the problem is that Michelle and Santiago are out there working somewhere. All right. Also, give it up for the AV team back here. Okay. See, I have no plan. I'm a D. I'm just like, hey, let's recognize everybody, right? But I make sure that I do that on a regular basis. So it doesn't matter to Santiago that I don't say his name because he knows how much I care about him. There's no doubt about that. Okay. Number five. So when you get back home, I don't care what happened, find something to recognize people for every day if you can. Okay. Number five. My supervisor or someone at work seems to care about me as a person. As a person. Number six. And by the way, I'm going to show you what the Gallup poll called a magic number that I learned a long time ago. That this report just proves what my mentors taught me in just a minute. As your team grows, you can't be the one, always be that one. So you've got to grow people in that community that you mentor that can do that, okay? So number six, there's someone at work who encourages my development. What I love about when I talk to Santiago about what he does, when I talk to Victoria about what she does, when I talk to Aliki or Angela about what they do and how's it going, you know when you're getting the right answer back? You know when you're getting a good answer back? Man, I'm learning so much. This is just, because they're in their strength zone. They're just doing things that they were born to do. I'm learning so much. They're developing as a person and professionally. Number seven, at work, my opinions seem to count. My opinions seem to count. Dale Carnegie said that people will support a world that they help create. That's community. It's not coming in as the boss, as I used to do. Do this, 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 this. And why isn't this happening, by the way? No, let's get them together. Hey, you guys are working on the front line. How does this really work? Now, you need to know enough about how things work to smell when something's wrong and ask the right questions, and that's experience as a leader. But get their input. They'll build the plane for you. They'll build the plane for you. It's totally cool. They'll build the plane for you. Number eight, the mission or purpose of my company makes me feel my job is important. There's no job on the team that is not important. Not one. And the person who starts at the starting position could be your greatest leader. Santiago, barely 18, started at the starting position. Did you notice that it said the mission or purpose of my company? See, when our purpose is to change lives, the purpose of Phenomenal Products is so that small business owners will have more life, live in freedom every day. When I talk to Santiago, what thrills him the most, is, man, I get to be a part of something that changes lives. How cool is that? Everybody could do that. We can all do that every single day. See, there's a lot of things that you need to have in place, and it takes a while to get the kind of success that you need, but you can be significant right now. Right now. Every day. With every person that you come into contact with. My associates or fellow employees, this is number 9, are committed to doing quality work. This is why you have to help some people quit. This is why you need to step up and be willing to go through that hard disciplinary process and let people go if need be. If there's cancer on your team, you need to do it right. But when you allow someone who's not the right fit to stay on your team, it affects everybody. Number 10, I have a best friend at work. I think about weird things. You think? Somebody said, you think? Yeah. I think, yes. About weird things. Thank you. Some of them are helpful. Some of them aren't, you know. But Joe's back there like, just go on, man. But I had a thought. I was standing in my kitchen. And I thought to myself, if the worst thing that could happen to me happened, who would be the first person that I would call? Other than my wife. If something happened to her. You know who it was? Yeah. That little Colombian refugee. Superman. And then he'd probably call Rick. Hey, Dad, you know. Yeah. Anyway. In the last 11, number 11, in the last 6 months, someone at work has talked to me about my progress, evaluations. But you know what? I don't really care about formal evaluations. What I care about is informal evaluations that happen on a regular basis. I ask Michelle all the time, how are you doing? You know, see, my team, I don't have to worry about them not doing what it is, not working hard enough. You know what I have to worry about? Here's the question I have to ask Michelle. Did you get enough sleep last night? I can't have you stand up all night. Get you some people, some systems, some whatever it is that you need. That's the problem I have. They'll just wear themselves out doing this. And number 12, this last year, I have had the opportunity to at work to learn and to grow. One of the reasons that you need to grow your company is not only that anything that's not growing is, but you can give other people opportunities. So on the one hand, you don't have to be a slave to your business. On the second, secondly, the thing is that people on your team, they want to grow. And if you don't grow the company, they can't grow. They can't grow into, you know, what they can become, right? Now, here's the magic number, and I've been sharing this. I learned this from my early mentors, and a sense of community happens best in groups of 12 or less. In groups of 12 or less. Because once you get beyond 12 people, the lines of communication and those, all of that changes. And this Gallup poll said that the highest employee engagement level by far, 42% in companies with fewer than 10 people, suggested something unique and beneficial about working in smaller, tight-knit groups. I'm reading a book called Scrum right now. Has anybody read that? Scrum? Okay. And it's the art of getting more done in half the time. Guy is brilliant. He's a PhD. And in their research, they found that they get projects done faster with teams of seven to nine, as few as three. But once it goes over nine, the effectiveness drops significantly. As a result of this poll, they made three suggestions. And Victoria, if you'll remind me to send everybody a link to this report so that you can read the whole report. Number one, select the right people. We've covered that pretty good. Number two, develop employees' what? Strengths. Number three, enhance employees' well-being, whether that's healthcare, emotional health, because what the study found is that people, employees who are thriving in their personal lives are overall more than twice as likely as those who are struggling to be engaged in their jobs. Just because you pay somebody a lot of money doesn't mean that they're good with that money. You may want to do a financial piece university in your business or something like that, right? Adam, right, Rick? Yeah. In fact, here's the result of the study. It said when organizations successfully engage their customers and their employees, they experience a 240% boost in performance-related business outcomes compared with an organization with neither engaged employees nor engaged customers. There it is in a nutshell. Inspire the team, wow the customer, make bigger profits. Let me close with this story. Dave Kaufman calls me up and says, look, we're going to do a one-day workshop in Ohio. I said, great, where are we going? He said, we're going to Amish country. I said, fantastic. You know, the first time I was in Amish country, I was like, just Lee Lewis picked me up. And I said, Lee, you just got to pull over because I've never experienced this. I've seen pictures or whatever, but this is just awesome. The first time you see it, it's just awesome, you know, and the horse and buggy and everything. And I was just like, you just got to pull over, man. I just got to take this in. This is just awesome, you know. And so I said, man, I can't wait to go back. And this was only like my second time to be in Amish country. And the conference center has like a big barn and there's a silo and everything. It's conference center in there. And the last time I was there in Amish country, I was with Jerry Anderson, who has owns the Phenom 100 jet with John Maxwell that I showed you yesterday. And, you know, very high level business people. And so I'm coming down the conference room for the workshop, and I started getting close to the conference room, And there's a coat rack there, and there's all these Amish coats and hats and everything. And I peek in the room, and everybody's wearing overalls, and I was like, am I in the right room? So I go find Dave. I said, hey, Dave. I said, we're actually presenting to the Amish? And he said, yeah, I thought I told you that. I said, no, whoa, chief. You told me that we're speaking in Amish country. Now, this is two D's trying to communicate with each other. Go to Ohio, Amish country. Yeah, cool, I'll be there, you know? I mean, no prep, right? And I'm thinking, man, I got examples of Lexus in there. I got examples of Jets in there. I got all this stuff, and I'm trying to think through my presentation. There's no time to really change all the handouts and all this kind of stuff. So we just got to go for it, right? So we go for it, and it's all good. And Dave did a phenomenal job on you know, Zig's goal setting and everything, and they really love the business thing. And the truth is that these folks, in fact, one of the sons, he said, man, I'd love to be a pilot, and he's got these videos of jets and everything. And you know, it's not like they don't see jets going by or cars going by. I mean, you know, it's just this is Alabama thinking, right? And man, we just had a great time, went to dinner with them and everything. And so I started asking some questions once we got the rapport going, right? And so I started asking them about their lifestyle and about their community, because there's probably not a stronger example of a sense of community than the Amish, right? You know, and whether you agree with it or not, some folks in the room are, you know, used to be Amish or whatever. And that's not the point. The point is that a strong community is committed to their community and committed to the vision, the mission, the values, and the purpose of that community. They're engaged, they're committed, right? So as I began to ask them questions, there was a gentleman who's actually an Inner Circle member now. And this is not his picture. This is just a picture I got on the internet. But I asked him, I said, because he was talking about coming to the conference. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, how would you get there? Because this is Ohio. We're in Houston, right? He said, well, I've got an Amtrak pass. Okay, cool. Do you mind if I ask you a personal question? He said, yeah, sure. So what's the difference in taking a train, Amtrak, and flying on a jet? And he said, well, very humble. I can't tell you exactly, but it's kind of like this. All of my family members live within 10 miles of each other, and we can get in the buggy and be there in a few hours or however long it takes. In a short time. If you start taking a jet, then you're tempted to be gone more often, and then you're away from your family more and more and more. They make it hard on themselves to break away from that community. They have this commitment because they don't want to be tempted to get out of balance. That, I don't know about you, but that just floored me. I was like, wow. So let me close with this question. How committed are you to your community? How committed are you to your team members? How committed are you to your community of clients and patients and customers? How committed are you to your own goals and your own sense of community? Because here's the thing. We can't build a sense of community in our organizations with other people if we don't experience it ourselves. If we're not willing to be supported and to support people, to be encouraged, to be equipped, and to equip others and encourage others, and if we're not willing to be accountable, we can't help other people be accountable. Make sense? Thank you very much. We have a little business to take care of real quick before we take a break. Victoria, can you help me, please? I need you to have an iPhone or something that we can take video with. And Andre, I'm going to need to use this video pretty quick for a promotion, because I want to talk to you guys about our next event, okay? Our next big conference. So if you'll just get it on an iPhone from down here somewhere and be sure to get some of these folks in the audience. So did you guys have a good time this weekend? Yes? Okay. So if you're glad you came, stand up. If you're glad you came, stand up. Okay. All right, so I want to talk to the folks that are not here and talk about our next event. It's called the Howard Partridge Roundtable. It'll be April 29th through May 2nd in Houston. And my question, right here at this hotel, and my question is, do you think that they should be here next time? Yes? Okay. Yeah? Okay. Did you learn more about being successful in life?
Yes.
Did you learn more about taking your business to the next level?
Yes.
Are you ready to go back and implement?
Yes.
Okay. So we invite you, and all of you to come to the Howard Partridge Roundtable April 29th through May 2nd. We're going to have Dr. Robert Rome. If you love human behavior, you love DISC, he's the guy that wrote the book. In fact, he was Zig Ziglar's Sunday school pastor, believe it or not. Guy that loves the Ziglar organization. I'm sure Tom Ziglar will be here. I'll be here, and our team will be here. And how many of you guys are going to be here in April 29th through May 2nd? All right. Thank you very much. Have a seat. I got one more announcement for you, and that is that on the break, you should have a flyer in front of you on the marketing workshop. In fact, if I can borrow one of those, Gary, can I borrow that from you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the reason that I want to talk about this right now is because as soon as our emails go out on this, this thing's going to fill up. We've already got a lot of registrations, and it's coming up pretty quick. We kind of hesitate to put too many events so close together, but here's the problem. We want to do 4 hands-on, 2-day workshops per year in between our major conferences, all right? So at the marketing workshop, I'm going to teach you what I call my phenomenal marketing systems. And what you're going to learn there is how to generate a consistent, unlimited supply of your perfect target prospects. In my companies, we can't get to all the prospects, you know. And somebody said to me at this conference, he said, man, I was just here in October and you guys have taken this to the next level. How many of you agree that every event that we do is better than the last one, right? And they're like, thank you very much. And it's mostly because of you, right? But I told this guy, I said, I take notes from the very beginning all the way to the end, and then we just keep improving. And that's what you need to do in your business. It's a 2-day hands-on phenomenal marketing systems training with myself, Rick Jones, Santiago, and Mrs. Phenomenal, Denise Partridge, March 6th and 7th, right here at this hotel in the Mexico Rooms. If you want to reach your sales goals more consistently, complete your phenomenal marketing systems, and generate an unlimited supply of your perfect prospects, then you want to be at this event. I'm going to go deeper. We'll have about 75 people there, and I'm going to go deeper in my marketing systems than I ever have on a 2-day, because I want to really help you get it implemented, not just learn about it. Does that make sense? Okay. Because the fact is the number one reason small businesses don't grow or do as well as they could is because of FTI. So step one is learning it. Step two is creating it for your business. And until you do those 2 steps, then you can't really accomplish the 3rd step. Okay? Let's see. So there is an agenda here. session one, how to set yourself apart through what I call phenomenal experiential marketing. Session two, learn the phenomenal marketing methods. We actually have six of those. One of them is the referral marketing process. The second one is client-based marketing. The third one is internet marketing. And then we've got direct selling and advertising. We're going to teach you how to write copy. We're going to teach you how to track your results. And lunch is included both days, okay? And for Inner Circle members, it's a $997 event, but Inner Circle members get to come for $497 per company, and you can bring one person with you. So two people per company includes lunch. Those of you that are in 777, Ultimate Leadership Mastermind, 787, or Phenom 100, then you guys can come just for the investment for lunch, $79 per person, okay? Speaking of that, those of you that are in Ultimate Leadership Mastermind, I need you to listen very closely to me right now. Those of you that are in Ultimate Leadership Mastermind or Phenom 100, you need to see Michelle because you've got a special lunch today. And you'll also be with myself and Darren Hardy for a special Q&A in a private room, closed door session. So if you're thinking about upgrading to Phenom 100 today, then be sure to do that. See the team back there if you want to be with Darren and myself. If you're already in Ultimate Leadership Mastermind, then you know you're already in or in Phenom 100. But I really strongly encourage you to sign up for this marketing workshop today. And the reason is that it will fill up, and it will fill up very quickly, because marketing is something that everybody in our community really needs and wants, right? Nothing happens in a business until what? A sale is made. Sales don't happen until marketing is done, all right? Now, after the break, our good friend Darren Hardy, what a phenomenal human being this guy is gonna take the stage. And so you're gonna all be wrapped up in that, and I won't have the opportunity to say a proper thank you to you probably. So let me say on behalf of myself and the team, thank you so much for supporting us this weekend and coming out. Did you have a good time? Yeah? Okay. Let me just tell you, I love you, we care about you, and can't wait to see you again. Be back in your seats at 9:55 for Darren Hardy, publisher of Success Magazine.
Hey,